Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. It's House.
I'm not just a professional athlete, I'm a beautiful woman.
Pope.
We shall not go lightly into the night.
Rooster.
Pinko.
Milk.
We'll see. It's going to be a war.
And Bison.
They got to get their shit together and fast.
SMQBs episode 223. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, good. Everybody's here. Look at that. Full house tonight. Hey, Pope, who are you bringing to the bar with you?
It is shit or get off the pot time for a lot of MLB teams. And so I'm bringing our GM, Chris Young, to the bar and trying to find out where his head is. The Rangers
Power?
Have a really good pitching staff.
Sorry.
But we're having some issues.
It's our, like, we're supposed to know who that means.
Our,
is this Rangers or Braves?
Oh, I mentioned
our.
That's fair. No, not the Atlanta Braves, but Texas Rangers GM. Trying to figure out, are we selling or buying at the trade deadline? We got to make a decision the next week or so.
Must be nice to have a GM so that you got that going for you. Rooster, who are you bringing?
I'm bringing the ghost of George Steinbrenner. And I'm going to try to get him to get his son, Hal, to grow a pair and start firing some people. We're getting into like Dallas Cowboy territory here since the last World Series, and it's unacceptable. Oof. Some heads have to roll. I'll get into that later with a punchable face.
All right. Hey, Milk, what about you?
July is Aaron Boone firing time for Rooster usually. So
yeah,
good to see you. Hit it early.
And Cashman. Cashman
mostly.
Cashman,
right.
Too.
I took this gentleman to the bar a few weeks ago. I'm going to take him back because that's how bad I feel for him. Of course, I'm talking about Paul Skenes, who lowered his ERA to 1.94 over the weekend and yesterday got his seventh loss of the season to take him to 4-7. Second best ERA in Major League Baseball. Out of the top 15 pitchers in Major League Baseball, ERA-wise, he's the only one with a losing record. It's a joke. The Pirates are awful. This guy should be like at least 9-3, maybe. I don't know. He's 4-7. It's disgusting. I feel bad for him. I want to buy him a drink.
Yeah, let's have a 4-7 pitcher start the All-Star game. Let's do that.
Oh, okay. House, that was a little bitterness.
If he was on the Phillies, he'd be undefeated.
That's true. Because Milk can't get enough of the NBA, I'm going to go NBA, and I am going to bring VJ Edgecombe to the bar. I don't think he can have a drink yet. I'm not exactly sure. But whereas the Sixers were drooling over getting Ace Bailey, as we discussed previously on this pod, Ace played himself out of that hand. We landed on VJ Edgecombe. And I'm not gauging the rest of his career on a one summer league game, but boy, oh boy, playing to 28-10 against a number of guys with at least a year of NBA experience under the belt in the Jazz. And he just looked very smooth, very composed. I'm not going to gauge it all in one, but that was a very, very encouraging sign from the first game of their number 3 overall pick. VJ, this drink's for you.
All right. Well, I've got a lot of options, I feel like, but there's one in particular. I really am going to bring one Mike Rizzo to the bar. I think everybody knows Rizzo and Davey were fired last night. But this is the tweet that I got that this is why I want to sit down with Rizzo in particular, because this was his comment, his text message that he sent to one of the reporters for the Post. The sun will come up tomorrow. Okay, that's a good response, right? Doing okay so far. That's the job. I had a great run. Sounds good. Handling things well. Doing okay. Then he goes on and said, navigated that ownership group for almost 20 years.
Ooh.
Period.
That's the bomb on the way out.
And there you go. So I think, look, we don't need to spend a lot of time on the Nats, who are having a very disappointing year. Rizzo did construct a World Series team and made some trades that, if we talk about the All-Star team, might come up later, that looked to be home run trades. He had a lot of faults, didn't build a bullpen correctly. The farm system's not great, but this is an ownership problem in DC, It was an ownership problem for many, many years. And I think the way he said navigated that ownership group, that's how most people in Washington think the situation is. It's just kind of a dysfunctional group of owners. And firing these guys now is not, like Rooster said, this is not some guys growing a pair and doing the right thing. This was just like throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. So I'd love to buy Mike Rizzo a drink at the bar.
I love Davey.
Yeah.
Or Murray.
Yeah. Rooster, talk to us about one of our sponsors.
Sure. Friends, if you're looking to add AI to your law firm toolbox, and who isn't these days, then look no further than Supio. Supio provides superior AI for law firms and can be found at supio.com.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, we had July 4th just wrapped up. Hope everyone had a good long weekend. Pope, anything interesting from the 4th you want to?
So in this time, our country is, everybody probably agree, we're somewhat divided on many different things, but there is, Bison, one thing that unites this country on July the 4th, and that is the world famous hot dog eating contest at Coney Island, going all the way back to 1916. I argue there's nothing more American than hot dogs in the USA on July the 4th. Fireworks, hot dogs, Coney Island. Joey Chestnut is the world champion hot dog eater, and he stood up to all tests. He missed it last year, but this year he won. 71 hot dogs consumed within 10 minutes. But the fun thing about, to me, and I try to watch it whenever I can on the 4th, is the hype man, George Shea, when he gets the crowd going before the introductions of each contestant. And I just pulled a quick excerpt from his introduction for Joey Chestnut this time. He said, "From the shards of shattered angels wielding the white sword of righteousness, he will not stop until he stands side by side with the gods." And with that and more, Joey Chestnut walked into a huge applause from a packed crowd at Coney Island. So I thought it would be interesting if we talked about, in that context, what other things has he consumed and would others consume, and then take it to us. What would we potentially try to consume in some kind of eating contest?
Before you go there, I just have to say that we are not united on this one. I'll be a contrarian, but I think competitive eating is not only disgusting, but it's not a sport, and it's a joke. Go ahead.
Oh, you duly noted, Rooster.
Scrooge
McRooster. You just caught off the goat.
Okay.
Duly noted, Rooster. So Joey Chestnut, I think Milk actually pondered this question for us earlier this week, but he holds the world record for the following: 23 6-inch Philly cheesesteaks in 10 minutes.
That is
121
unreal.
Twinkies in 6 minutes, 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes, and 103 Crystal Burgers in 8 minutes.
How's this dude even
many,
alive?
Many others.
He is a fast metabolism and makes it to the toilet quickly.
His intestines must be like bionic. They're artificial. He's got artificial intestines.
I don't get how he got 10 cups of ramen in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, that sounds
it's not even about like a competitive, like has the esophagus and the intestines, like, you know, how do they allow that?
He trains.
Well, the world record for
hot
dogs
throat.
Is 76 when he has held that. Didn't break it this year, but how does he do 71, let alone 76 hot dogs?
With bread that buns that he's dipping in water.
By the way, the women's division was won by Mickey Sudo with 33 hot dogs.
33. But that's 18 off her world record of 51.
18.
He's also done 81 waffles in 8 minutes compared to Bison doing zero waffles in 24 right, hours when he lost the fantasy football.
So you're telling us
so Joey's got you there.
To Mr. B,
how much lemonade has he consumed in a period of time?
80 gallons?
I mean, that's another thing.
Oh, God.
Gross.
House, what would you house if you were in a eating contest?
I mean, Joey has put down 182 large chicken wings in 30 minutes, which I don't think I could beat him, but I would take on any of you on sucking that bone dry, which Milk loves to say all the time.
Oh, no. My God. You can win this one, dude. Go ahead.
Gross.
I'm a good chicken wing eater, and I'll take any of you on if you're looking for competitive eating, which is not a sport. I agree with Rooster.
Rooster, come on. What would you do?
I think I could take all of you in a competition of homemade chocolate chip cookies and cold milk.
Okay. And the combination, like, you dip down, it baby. In the milk and eat it? Or
no, you just chug the milk after you've had a few.
All right. I think I could crush you all in McDonald's double cheeseburgers.
Wow.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Wow.
God, you can have it.
Pope, what's yours?
I guess it's more unique to my region, but I think I can crush you guys in crawfish.
Oh, crawfish.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you have to peel and eat them? And are you sucking the head?
You suck the head. Absolutely. Quickly.
That would be fun.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you like crawfish that much.
Milk, I think you're going to pick kale, right?
I was going to go with broccoli.
Quinoa.
Broccoli?
By the way,
plain broiled chicken over lettuce.
I'm not as impressed with the 71 hot dogs as I am with the 23 Philly cheesesteaks after my experience in Philadelphia, where I took two bites and almost died. 23 in under 10 minutes? That literally would kill me. I think I could take you guys... thought about this. It can't
White
be something
claws.
It can't be something large like a double cheeseburger. You guys would own me there. I could take you an M&M's, but not the normal size M&M's, like the mini M&M's.
The minis.
The minis. Yeah,
the mini ones. Yeah. I could really do a number on those.
Mini M&M's for mini milk. I like
mini
it.
Okay.
All right. Rooster, do we have another sponsor we want to shout out?
Sure. This goes out to our friends who run law firms. If you're concerned that your website is a static piece of junk
like
that doesn't help you get new clients, well, look no further than Digital Law Marketing. Bison and I made that switch some time ago, and we're really happy that we did. They are generating clients for us and doing a fantastic job for our law firms and for the SMQBs.
Rooster told me last week that one of his best cases came from his website.
Yeah.
Digital law marketing.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's jump into a little MLB. We had the announcement of the All-Star rosters last night.
I'm pissed.
I want to hear it, House. I think you got a good gripe, but let's hear it.
I mean, seriously, what does Trey Turner need to do? He's number two in the National League in batting average. He's number one in hits. How can you leave the NL hit leader off the All-Star team? He's number three in stolen bases. He's okay. He's not the greatest defensive shortstop, but I don't think we're picking people for defense in the major leagues. I don't know how that happened. And no disrespect. I know this is going to start a little fight. No disrespect to Mackenzie Gore, but there's just no way you're comparing his numbers to either Ranger Suarez or Christopher Sanchez and saying, okay, he throws a lot of strikeouts, but there's just no way a manager is putting Mackenzie Gore on the mound before either Ranger or Christopher Sanchez right now. All of them are left off the National League. It's a joke. It's house-rageous.
Well, I think part of your problem is you still look at old school stats. And they don't really, this is a dispute we've had for a while. And it goes back to some of the Soto hating that you have. It's like, you still worry about batting average, and batting average doesn't mean anything anymore, right? It's
silly,
just not,
house.
It's not interesting. So
batting average irrelevant now. That's ridiculous.
Totally irrelevant. 400,
it's totally
whatever.
200. Well, it's irrelevant because it's just not a good judge of somebody's productivity and what they're doing for their team. I mean, this is the money ball thing. You could get a bunch of singles, but you know, and by the way, tell me how this is wrong. Here are the leaders in OPS, on base plus slugging.
Okay.
Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, Will Smith, Shohei Ohtani, Michael Bush, James Wood, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, Kyle Tucker. Those are your top 10. So which of those guys is not having a fantastic year right now?
They all are.
It's just a better stat. It's a better stat for who's a dominant offensive player.
Yep.
And as you kind of go through that, look, I love Trey Turner. I told you when you got him, Toby, that he could be an MVP candidate for you. He hasn't lived up to that, but I think he's a great player. But he's not in the top 25 in OPS. So I think that's part of it. I think if you're looking only at batting average, it doesn't get the job done. And it's, you know, sort of this, you could say the same thing about pitching. Although I think one of Mackenzie Gore's problems is that he lets too many people on base, and that actually turns up when you look at his whip. There's just better statistics to look at than ERA and batting average. And I think that's part of where you have a problem.
Who else got left off? Soto got left off.
The biggest one you just mentioned is Bush.
Yeah.
Michael Bush for the Cubs.
Yeah, I think the catcher for the Red Sox, Narvaez, I think that's how you say it. I think he's got a pretty good gripe. Michael Bush, definitely. I don't know who else. Trey, Soto.
What do you think the knock was on Soto? Just a late start?
Yeah, he had a really rough first few months. I mean, he's been hot for about, a month and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was player of the month for June in the National League player of the month in June. So, and you know, like I just said, he's top 10 in OPS. He's right back sort of where you thought he would be.
The one that surprised me the most was the resurrection of Aroldis Chapman. I mean, that guy was pretty much out of the league when he left the Yankees. He
did a stint for the Rangers.
Couldn't control his fastball or his emotions at that time. Yeah. But he's having a great year for the Red Sox, and he's a real talent. I mean, he's still got the heat, so it's good to see him back.
So yesterday I sent something around to you guys. All these pitchers will be in the All-Star game. Two of them most certainly will start. Tarik Skubal, who, you know, I think is undeniably the best pitcher in baseball right now. And him and Zach Wheeler and Paul Skenes all pitched yesterday. Three pitchers with 32 strikeouts between them and zero walks, and a total of 9 hits between the three pitchers. Unfortunately, Skenes, like Milk said at the top, did not get the win because the Pirates stink. I mean, you look, every year we've got a really good pitcher to talk about. In the past, we've had, you know, DeGrom and Scherzer and Verlander and all these folks. But I really think we are being treated to some insane pitching from these three. And I'm very curious, not that it matters, because it's what? It's one inning pitched, right, to start the All-Star game. I'm very curious to see who's the starter between Zach Wheeler and Paul Skenes. Because Wheeler has turned into pretty much the best bridesmaid pitcher you'll ever see. He's not gotten a Cy Young yet. He's the most consistent pitcher in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years. He's dominant this year. And yet, if Major League Baseball has their thumb on the marketing scale, they're going to start with Skenes. He's just more of an attractive player in that way. But I don't know. Who do you guys start between Wheeler and Skenes?
I'd go Wheeler just because of his experience. You just know he's going to have a good start.
Well, Skenes started last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Skenes started last year, right?
Skenes did start last year. That's why I was going to say Wheeler, because Skenes has started one, and he will start one again. I'd give Wheeler a chance. He's having a great year. He's gotten better year after year the last couple of years. One thing, though, to keep in mind about these guys is who's going to pitch on Sunday before the break and not be eligible to pitch. Some of these guys who are on the roster won't be eligible to pitch. But just, House, just to show you again the thing on stat, I think a lot of people say whip is probably one of the best. Whip is runs and walks per inning pitched. And here are your top 10 whip leaders: Skubal, Wheeler, DeGrom, Joe Ryan, Hunter Brown, Paul Skenes, Max Fried, Brian Wu, Spencer Schwellenbach, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Did you say Fried or no? Was Fried on that list?
Fried is 7.
Fried's like 11 okay. and 2.
I mean, yeah, he's 7.
He's having a good year.
So again, that's a pretty, you know, if you say who's having the best year, who are the best pitchers, that's a pretty accurate.
Why is Joe Ryan not an All-Star? He didn't even make the All-Star team. I don't get it. He got totally screwed. He's having a great year.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Some of it too has to do with how they pick the team, right? You know, the fans
well,
vote.
Yeah, there's a roster limit. I mean,
well, right, well, but yes, the fans, the
people
fans
like
vote.
You, who, yes,
yeah,
and, who and that popularity picks, contest.
Right. I mean, that's it is there is a large popularity contest to it, so it's not perfect.
Did Rodon make it or no, Rooster?
No.
Do you know? He
he's
did
not.
Not
even a reserve.
I mean, that's he's had a good year too.
Yeah, but he's given up some tough losses also.
It would have been fun to see DeGrom versus Soto, right? That would have been a fun matchup. You're not going to get to see the former Met versus the current Met.
Yeah.
What are the matchups? Any of you guys looking forward to anything in particular?
Well,
I hope Gleyber Torres has a great game.
I want to see someone, whether it's Skeens. I mean, I'd love to see this Skeens versus Cal Raleigh matchup. I'd love to see Skeens.
That's the one I was going
to
say.
I would love to see Skeens just throw in some heaters and say, hey, it's the All-Star game. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah.
That will be so fun if that happens.
That's the one. Yep. Or Skeens versus Judge.
Judge, yeah.
Yeah,
those and, will you be know, fun. And the same goes for, you know, Scooble versus Shohei or Schwarber and say, just go for it. And that's but you know, look, the one thing that's still nice about the Major League Baseball All-Star game, we've said this many times on the pod, that none of the other All-Star games even come close to comparing being played as a real game. The players still do care to win that game. And I don't think we've seen in a long time that I can remember something like some kind of 9-6, you know, All-Star game. Most of the time it's like 3-2, 4-1. Yeah. You know, it's really close because I think the players, particularly the pitchers, they care to win that game. You know, I did not like when they made this contingent for the World Series. You know, whoever won the All-Star game got to control the home team of the World Series. That was like totally unfair. That right. really screwed the team.
Right.
But I do think the players care enough to play the game the right way.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. All right. Anything else on All-Star game?
Looks like the National League, just from eyeballing it, is stacked and has the better team, but they always find a way to choke against the
American
League.
They really do. They really do.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think it's always fun.
I went to it last year. Just to see those matchups. And like we talked about before, the Home Run Derby to me is almost better than the All-Star game itself.
No, totally. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, I like to see the matchups, right? And now, granted, with interleague play, I mean, you know, it used to be
right
back in the day, right, when we walked uphill to school. But, you know, you only saw these matchups during the All-Star game because the leagues didn't play each other. So it's a little different now, but it's still fun to see the best of the best going up against each other. So
totally.
All right, Rooster, we got another sponsor, right?
We do. If you are a law firm and you think a happy staff is important to you, then you want a case management software company that provides not only cutting-edge cloud-based software, but also friendly, knowledgeable, and accessible tech support. That company is Assembly. Assembly has NEOS, cloud-based case management systems, and they assign a representative to your firm. And if your staff needs any technical help with the product, you can call the rep and get immediate response. We're all happy with all the ones on this show who have it are real happy with it, and our staffs are very happy with it. Assembly.com.
All right, let's talk a little F1 for a minute here. I don't mean the movie. We got some kind of at the halfway point of the season. We've got the battle. You know, I had been very concerned about Lando's psyche. He seems to have bounced back pretty well from that, but not without a little controversy this past Sunday that let him win. I don't know. Did Lando deserve to win that race?
Yeah. I mean, Pope and I were texting back and forth.
I mean, did
during
he
the
earn
race.
It? Yeah. Did he earn it?
Yesterday was a very interesting race because it was on a wet track for 2/3 of the race. It required a lot of experience, a lot of tire management, a lot of just avoiding the pitfalls of certain curves that were going to make you not have grip. And during one of the, you know, yellow flags where you had to slow down, there was a situation where the pace car, essentially, which allows you to, you know, stay behind while the flag is on, the pace car basically released the brakes. The light went out on the pace car that is, it was basically no longer just slowing down. And at that point, you had to accelerate. And Piastri did not accelerate. And I don't know.
In fact, he decelerated, according to the announcers, about 100 miles an hour.
Well, and he said he did, though, basically simultaneous to them releasing the brake. The light
so
changed.
Like, and none of us are F1 stewards, but it seemed like it was not a close call for them because there was the discretion to give a 5 or 10-second penalty, and they gave a 10-second penalty. It just seems like such an extreme penalty that they see this as an obvious infraction. Apparently, this is something they were talking about in the last couple of weeks. It was emphasized to the drivers. And so do you say, well, Lando only won the race because Piastri lost the race by making that? I guess you could technically say that. There was also an issue where Lando was very close, and when he had a tire change, his pit crew screwed him.
Royally.
And
couple seconds.
He took 5 seconds,
yep.
And when Max took 2 and he lost a position in the race, that wasn't Lando's fault. So I don't know. I think Lando did enough to win the race, and personally I was happy for it because I think it's cool when any of these guys win in their home country. I think that was cool.
Yeah. It's an 8-point gap now, so it's on. I mean, it was already on, but it is on right now between him and Piastri.
And that's where the ballgame is. It's in the McLaren room. They're the only two that can feasibly win the driver championship at this point. And again, like we talked about before, McLaren says we don't have a number one driver. We just let him drive. So, you know, there's going to be elbows out, I think. And as we get closer, potentially, you know, to deciding who's going to get the championship, and if they are that close, you know, that what we saw in the race where they knocked each other out or Lando got knocked out by doing something stupid, I mean, that's going to happen again.
For sure. For sure.
But let's talk about Nico.
Yeah, that's cool. You got to. Yep.
Somebody, I mean, I guess you could call it an early lasso, but Nico Hülkenberg gets his first podium finish in 239 races in F1. Guy's going to turn 38 years next month, and he finally gets his podium. And it was really cool seeing all the excitement among all the drivers that Nico would finally got an opportunity to get up there on the podium.
And for that racing team, if I was saw the graphic right, Pope, I think it said for Kick Sauber, it was their first podium since 2012.
Since
that team has been on the podium at all. I mean, we all know that when you see that, you know, neon green team out on the racetrack, they're going to be somewhere between 16th and 20th on the grid at the end of the race. They're going to not do well.
But as bad, that's a big deal. A great segue, House, because as bad as they have historically been, they've scored more points in the last 3 races than Red Bull.
Yes.
That's wow. Right.
I heard that stat.
Wow.
Because Yuki is dragging Red Bull down to the point where there is now discussion, guys, about Max potentially being able to exercise an exit clause in his contract. It's kind of unclear exactly what that is. They haven't clarified that. But Max is third in the driver championship, and there's some thought that, you know, Russell is right on the doorstep of him. If Max slips to fourth, potentially he could exercise that clause. And it looks like Toto has been sniffing around the garage and seeing if there's a potential to get Max over to Mercedes, which, of course, would be another, you know, amazing rock-the-world move, kind of like Hamilton, and cause all kinds of problems.
Think about that storyline. Russell passes Max, lets him opt out of his contract, and he takes Russell's seat at Mercedes.
Right, because Kimmy's not going anywhere.
Kimmy's not going anywhere. That's how that shakes out.
He's the young Jedi. So, yeah, I mean, and so maybe Russell goes over and takes Yuki's or takes Max's seat. But they got to figure out something about the second seat at Red Bull. That is really hurting them right now.
They got to figure out something about their car.
They could, though. They could go with Max and Russell and then put Kimmy down at Racing Bulls.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think they made it pretty clear that Kimmy has a seat.
You know what would be really fun is to kick out Yuki, kick out, say, we're not taking anybody from V-Carb. We're not taking Liam Lawson. We're giving Checo a call again. Come out of the retirement home, Checo, and come back out. It's now you really, really see. Yeah, Checo had his problems, and last year he was particularly not very good, but he was so much better than anything they've paired so far this year with Max. I mean, they've had nobody of any quality to pair with Max, and I don't even know what's happened to the car itself. You know, we've talked before on this pod about Adrian Newey moving over from Red Bull to whatever it is, Aston Martin with Alonso and Stroll. And is it that, is he the reason why this car just is not nearly as fast? But it's remarkable, you know, how much the car matters. Like, you take a look at a guy like, who we all, I think, admire very much. When Carlos Sainz was on Ferrari, he had a number of podiums. He was a darn good driver. You put him in Williams, and he doesn't have a sniff of the points almost ever. So it's, we go back and forth on driver versus car. I think we're seeing more and more the car is really what matters.
And guys, I would as we leave F1, I would highly recommend everyone, our listeners, if you love F1, you're going to love the movie F1. If you don't know much about F1, go to the movie F1. It is a great experience in IMAX, and it'll excite you for listening to us and understanding more of F1 as we go forward.
You saw it yesterday?
Yeah.
Nice.
Were you drooling over Brad Pitt?
Yes, you were.
You were.
Not Brad Pitt.
Lewis.
Lewis.
Yeah, right. Lewis. But the funniest thing is all the guys who were in their gear, you know, like, guys wear Red Bull, you know, team shirts, a lot of swag. It was pretty funny.
No, who would wear a racing outfit to a movie? Come
House, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I want to see that house when you go.
All right, well, let's give a shout out to our fourth sponsor for this evening, Injury Board, Milk's Company, the best plaintiff law firm marketing networking group in the country. It's exclusive. It only takes leaders at the bar. If you feel like you're in that group, check out injuryboard.org, and you will not be disappointed with the contacts you make and the referrals you receive.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's move on now to Punchable Face of the Week, fellas.
It's this week's Punchable Face.
Does anyone have a punch?
I do.
Go for it.
Not that the world was paying attention to the CONCACAF Gold Cup final between the United States garbage that only had, you know, two players playing outside the Major League Soccer, and Mexico, which only had two players playing outside of the Mexican League. But the U.S. was up 1-0. Game got tied up 1-1. Mexico then took the lead. And there was a play in which the ball was in the box for the U.S. on the offensive side, and the Mexican player fell down, and the way he balanced himself on the fall was by literally putting his hand on the ball.
Now, well, he stopped the momentum of the ball, too.
Yeah, he stopped the momentum. So if the ball did squirt away, another U.S. player couldn't get it. So I don't know about you guys and what you learned, but what I learned about soccer is you can't really put your hand on the ball, because when you do, it's a penalty.
That.
And when that happens inside the penalty box, then it's a penalty kick. And they did not call it. So to the officiating crew of the Gold Cup, you are getting the official SMQB Punch of the Week.
Yes.
To your face.
Anyone else have a punch? Good one. Good one.
I didn't have a punch, but I am going to punch taking on the U.S. soccer fandom, because at the game in Houston, United States men's soccer team going for a championship, they were way out drawn by the Mexican crowd. Pro-Mexico was like 70-30 is what the announcers said. I get the passion Mexico has, but guys – we have the World Cup next year. I mean, we need to be better, whatever it takes. We cannot have American home games where we are the underdraw. That's not going to work.
I've got a quick punch to follow up on my bar segment, and I'm going to punch Brian Cashman, Ooh. You're right. I punch him this time every year. It doesn't seem to be working. You know, in the last several years, what do you think about when you think about the New York Yankees? Injuries, older players who used to be really good, injured and are ineffective. Big fat losing streaks once these injuries kick in around June, July, and somehow they pull it together enough to squeeze in to the playoffs, but they're just, you know, they're missing pitchers and they don't have a good relief squad. They've got a makeshift infields. So last year, knowing all of this, Cashman decides to get rid of one of our good young infielders, Gleyber Torres, and hold on to LeMahieu, who a long time ago was a hell of a player. Now he can barely get the bat around. He seems to be swinging a 400-pound bat these days, and he's always hurt. So he puts LeMahieu at third base, and the big surprise, pleasant surprise of last year was Jazz Chisholm, who is a natural third baseman. We kept him and stuck him at second base rather than keeping Gleyber Torres and putting Chisholm at third, just so LeMahieu could play third. I mean, it's just dumb. Everything the guy does is dumb these days. And our bullpen sucks. He's just not stocking up on good young players. Keeps hanging on to injury-prone players like Giancarlo Stanton, who's now back off the injured reserve list, still play a month or so and get hurt again. It's just the same old, same old. And, you know, until they get rid of Cashman and Aaron Boone, it's going to continue. They have the talent to be good enough every year to go in, you know, into the playoffs and last year into the World Series, but they're never going to win it with these two guys at the helm. I'm going to punch them and Hal Steinbrenner for being such a puss.
Yeah, Rooster, get after him.
Anyone else blushing? Right? Is it hot in here? Is it just, keep going, Rooster. Oh, whew. God, that was good.
All right, who's got a lasso? This is a portion of the show where we try to bring to the forefront a feel-good sports story. Anyone have one?
I have a whatever we would call as the combo lasso pour out. So the tragic news in the world of sports this past week was a star soccer player for Liverpool, Diogo Jota, and his brother, Andre Silva, were driving on a road right between Spain and Portugal. It was just after midnight. Lost control of the car, went kind of off the side of the road, caught fire, and both of them died. Both of them very, very good soccer players. Jota, in particular, for Liverpool, was a real, not superstar, but definitely a star. And with a lot, what really became clear was just how admired and how many ties he had to the world of soccer. He also played on the Portuguese national club. And the feel-good part of the story is when a tragedy like this strikes, the way it can kind of galvanize the sporting world. And so there have been all kinds of tributes on the field, off the field, mainly in the sport of soccer, but even beyond, of people, you know, holding up the jersey number, doing the same celebration that Jota would do when he scored a goal. Dembele did it in the PSG game. Raul Jimenez for Mexico did it in the Gold Cup game. And it's very, very tragic. He basically had a high school sweetheart that he was with for many years. They got married 2 weeks ago. They had three children together, and he leaves behind both his wife and three kids. And it's nice to see in a tragedy like this, the sports world recognize and honor his memory. I'm sure almost the entire next year, if not the whole year, will be dedicated for the Liverpool season, will be dedicated to him. And so I guess it's a pour out from our crew and a tribute to his memory. Really sad story.
Good one, House.
Good one.
All right, let's wrap it up with some buzzer beaters. Who's got a buzzer beater? I'll start. You know, it's 15 years since LeBron's announcement that he's taking his talents to Miami.
Well, no. The decision.
South Beach.
Yeah, yeah. That's a long time. It seems like yesterday. 15 years
time
ago.
Flies.
Changed a lot in the NBA. Anybody else have something?
I got one couple.
Go ahead.
Well, one thing. Well, congrats to Clayton Kershaw. I don't know if we mentioned his 3,000 strikeout.
Oh yeah.
Weekend.
That's a good one.
That was big. I've been very hard on men's American tennis, as you guys know. We've got two American men in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon: Ben Shelton and Taylor Fritz. Shelton has to play the one seed. What's his name? Yannick?
Sinner. You know what happened to Sinner today, right?
Yes,
what?
He was down two sets, but the other guy got hurt.
Yeah, he was down two sets, 2-2 in the third, and Grigor Dimitrov fell and hurt his elbow and had to retire.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Sinner's not playing. I mean, Sinner could be vulnerable.
He is. Yeah, he could be vulnerable. So can we get an American male tennis player in the semifinals of Wimbledon? We'll see.
No.
One American woman left, Amanda Nishimura, after Coco's shocking defeat. She's in the quarters, too. So, see what happens.
And Joker's still hanging.
Joker's still there.
It's possible Joker can make it to the final.
You have another buzzer, Milk?
No, that was it. Then okay. Clayton.
Anybody else?
So, staying one more time with the world of soccer, we've been talking previously about the FIFA World Cup, Club World Cup. At the end, the cream rose to the top and chalk delivered. So the next 2 days, yours truly is going to check out the semifinals at MetLife Stadium. Tomorrow, I'll be there for Chelsea versus Fluminense, one of the top Brazilian teams. And then the mega battle in the other semi is the current champion, PSG, will face the perennial 30-time winner of European soccer, Real Madrid. I mean, that
Mbappe.
The talent on that field in the PSG-Real Madrid game will be unbelievable. And so the winners of those two games will face each other Sunday at MetLife. And if you haven't been watching any FIFA Club World Cup, at least the next couple of days are worth turning on.
All right. Well, I just wanted to point out that this coming football season will be Deion Sanders' first season as head coach with a quarterback controversy. He's got two quarterbacks on the Buffs. Guy who transferred from Liberty University here in Virginia named Caden Salter, and a super, super freshman who's probably the future of the team named Julian Lewis. And they still haven't figured out who's the starter. So Deion being Deion brings both of them to media days and has them both address the media as if they're the starter, which could be interesting. We'll see.
Well, Spurrier and just use both.
Yeah.
We are getting closer to football, boys.
Absolutely.
Get your fantasy drafts going.
All right, good show. Sorry, Bison had a dropout early. We missed him.
All right, fellas, good show.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Later.
Later.